When Irish eyes are smiling, it's because they're looking at me.
If you run in my social circle, you better be comfortable on camera.
Oh, a future reality TV star. I'm extremely into it. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 519-ish, maybe 520. Couldn't tell you anything except I'm very excited for this ep. A new guest to the Clawfist, making a little schlep here on Monday morning. I'm so appreciative. So welcome to Andy's Girls, content creator and brand marketing specialist, Abby Bonadies.
Woo, the crowd goes wild.
So Abby, how did we meet? Did we meet through BravoCon? Is that when we met?
BravoCon and our little Threads group.
Yes. Shout out Threads. I'm allegedly on Threads. You're a proficient threader. You're an excellent threader.
Thank you.
The only reason I honestly do Instagram stories is because I don't even know. It's just like, I don't even think about it, but I need to get back on Threads.
Your stories are so good because they're just like stream of consciousness.
They truly are.
Which I love.
Truly.
So you can just do the same on Threads and you'll be great.
Well, I mean, listen, so your focus is on brand marketing. You blew up on TikTok. Can you tell me a little bit of that journey, which is like extremely new to me? I'm not a TikToker. I'm not on TikTok. People tell me I need to join. I'm like, and you maybe do. Maybe not now.
I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, I think you guys will be fine. I think we'll be fine.
But we love Instagram and Threads too, so that's fine.
Sure. So tell me about your Threads journey. Tell me about your whatever the fuck goddamn social media stuff. I'm young. Tell me about your TikTok journey.
So I have been working in brand marketing for like a decade at different media companies. I was at Rolling Stone, Pop Sugar, New York Mag. But I have always been a content girly, like even when no one was watching me. It was just like part of my vibe of always. I downloaded Instagram on my first like iPod Touch. I was just like obsessed with it. I've always been kind of the photographer of the friend group too. Like always when everyone texts the next morning, like, hey, you took pictures, right? Can you send them to me to post? Mm. And I actually did grow up doing dance competitively. So when TikTok came about as this new like dance app, I was like, oh, great. I love a little fun dance app. And I did have a good Vine vibe for a while there.
Oh, Vine.
Yeah. So I really dabbled in all of the social media you could possibly think of. But TikTok just like, it made so much sense to me. I love videos, love being funny. Uh-huh. And I did a lot for my New York City wedding 2 years ago, and people love bride talk. And
is it called bride talk?
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
It was something. And I would kind of mix in, you know, my regular living in New York City pop culture loving life kind of situation. And then basically a year ago last week, it came out that Tyga was dating Avril Lavigne, which was a big deal in my Kardashian brain because obviously we know Tyga was with Kylie and Blac Chyna, and Avril Lavigne was with Brody Jenner. And he works with Travis Barker, who's married to Kourtney Kardashian.
Oh,
and
they're so incestuous.
It's wild.
Jesus.
So someone commented on one of my videos and they're like, oh my God, like, can you make a flow chart about this? I don't understand. So I did just like on my lined paper with a Sharpie, made a flow chart about how crazy it is, all the connections. And overnight, it got like 40 million views. It was insane. Yeah, it was insane. Everyone's like, you need a bigger whiteboard. Who's Brody Jenner? We have so much to talk about, all these things. And I was like, well, this all just lives in my brain. So let's go with it. And I've just been making fun celebrity flowcharts and pop culture content now with obviously a heavy emphasis on Bravo.
What has been your most fun Bravo flowchart to make?
I loved my like David Foster era one.
Oh.
Because I weaved in, of course, Yolanda there, and then we have the Gigi of it all, and that does connect to the Kardashians because Linda Thompson, Brody Jenner's mom,
was married to David.
So that was a good one. And I according to my comments, a lot of people started watching Vanderpump because I did a Vanderpump flow chart like a year ago when Sandoval broke, before people really like started their new binges of it.
Yeah.
And they were like, this explained it so well and it got me into it. And now we've just added people to our Bravo universe, which we love.
You know what I think about this every now and again, and it makes me kind of sad, is that well after they split up, there was still a YouTube video, their wedding video, that existed for all of us to watch. So I watched, it was like 5 or 6 minutes long. I watched the David Foster Yolanda wedding video over and over and over again because it was just so rich.
It was so rich.
And she looked beautiful. And it was like this whole thing. And Muhammad was there. And it's just like this fascinating journey. And to think of how they fell apart. I don't think it's available anymore, which is so upsetting. Because I looked at that was like, you know, clocks turn back. Sarah's got to watch that David Foster, Yolanda Hadid video. Foster, and then married last name again. It was a wonderful, wonderful delight.
They were such a fun piece of Beverly Hills, I think. And it does make me miss that era a bit.
And we'll never get that. I mean, not that they would get back together, not that anybody wants that, but we'll never get Yolanda back. Now she's on a farm in Pennsylvania living her best life.
Living a life.
I think it's a good life. I think it's a very good life.
And I think it's what she kind of always hinted at wanting.
Yeah.
But we miss her.
I mean, she loved those lemons.
She loved making
chicken and terrible souffle. And like, David, don't divorce me. The souffle didn't rise.
And
accordingly.
That fridge,
which wasn't there a rumor that the fridge actually didn't keep things chilled?
That's hilarious. I don't know. True.
I don't know. Listen, when it comes to conspiracy theories, probably my number one is the fact that fridge maybe didn't keep stuff chilled.
That's up there for me now.
Which I don't know that it's true.
Well, that's why it's conspiracy. That's why we love it.
I'm hedging my bets. I'm not quite sure. And Gigi and what's her face? The other one.
Bella,
thank you so much. Like the fact that we saw them grow up, and Anwar too, but Gigi and Bella are, can we even, how much of a focus, so many questions, how much of a focus or emphasis influence do you think that Housewives had and reality TV had in their rise to superstardom?
A lot, especially if you think about it. It happens to be a lot of daughters in that universe, but we have Gigi and Bella. We have Rinna's girls.
I mean, LOL. But they're kind of, I thought it was kind of a joke, but I guess now they're.
I mean, people still follow and watch. Yeah. And obviously the two main reality TV teenagers being Kylie and Kendall.
Sure.
They were all kind of that same age group, which is kind of crazy to think about, because even like the Brielle Biermans of the world, they have eyes on them. And it's just because it's kind of like a new generation of the housewives, and they all look like the moms. People just love it. And I think we're even getting, this is going to go on a whole other tangent, but we are getting another kind of taste of that with like all of the little girls like Ocean and Summer Moon and Hartford, with all the Vanderpump girls too. So we have a lot of second generation reality people that I can make tons of flowcharts about eventually.
I watched Sheena on, I think it was when she was on Jeff Lewis Live, and she was talking about the fact that people recognize Summer Moon at the grocery store when she's not there. Like that people are like, hey, Summer Moon.
That's scary.
Isn't that a little
creepy? Yeah, she is adorable.
She's cute, but I also kind of wonder about the decision to bring your kids on reality TV. And then, you know, in Sheena's eyes, she's like, well, technically she has an agent, but we haven't gone down that path yet. Like the decision to both have your child on reality TV and then monetize that at such a young age. Sheena's not the first person. She's not the 100th, but I cannot imagine the process of deciding that when your child is too young to like form a sentence, let alone give consent.
Right. Before they can even understand what's going on. Like obviously, like Gigi and Bella, they knew what was going on and it helped their career. But Summer is like 3. She doesn't know yet.
Well, Gigi and Bella knew what was going on, but I don't know how much of a part of the conversation they were in. And even if your mom sits you down and is like, listen, you're 12 or 14 or 15 or whatever, I want to do this show, or this show has good opportunities that might help you too. Like, how much of an awareness you have of the cost of saying yes.
Totally. And especially because, I mean, at that point, you're like, oh, well, my mom said it's fine. So yeah. I'm sure it's fine. And I guess we'll see. I mean, there's so many of those kids now that are going to be like, even like the Northwest, like that are going to turn into adults, and it we'll see the impact on that. Like, obviously, it'll take a little while for the summer moons of it all, but it's interesting how many people chose to put their kids on. And then there's the people like Lala, whose estranged partner decided that is not okay.
Right.
So it's an interesting world to think about.
Yeah, I mean, we still see, do we see Ocean on the show?
I don't think we're allowed.
You know, it's because I see her so much on social media.
So much, which is, that's interesting to me too. Like,
yeah, that's allowed, but not, right. But, you know, I think of the Jason, Bethany situation after they split. I think of Sonia. I think of Sutton. And while my assumption is that in some of those dynamics, it was like the estranged spouse trying to spite the ex of like, you're not allowed to have the kids, there also might be a lot of valid truth of like, I don't want this to impact the kids. The reaction to that, the reality of it is like, I think it's a benefit for these kids not to be on camera. You get to make the choice when you're 18, like Sutton's daughter, of like, okay, I'm going to film this scene. I, not that I'm saying we shouldn't have kids on Housewives. I'm so thankful that we do. But I'm also like, even if like some of these exes are doing it to try to screw with their X's occupation, right, or chance of bringing money, whatever else, like there's a benefit to the child.
Totally. It's so, yeah, I mean, there are definitely the older ones that you see come in, like Luann's and Dorinda's, and they, to your point, have decided, oh, I'll come film the scene. Like, I get it. I know what's going on, but interesting to think about. And I agree. I love having the kids on, but it changes the vibe for their actual home experience, especially when the parents are separated.
Yeah, we saw that on Gina on Orange County too, like the trajectory with her kids. It's like when you watch someone develop, so often an important part of development is like separating yourself from your parents and finding your own independence, and also having hormones and being like, you're the devil, I hate you forever. That's, I mean, surely that, you know, lasts in a mother or father's mind, in a parent's mind for years to come. But usually that's not captured on TV. So like, think of Gina version one from Orange County, like the ways that some of us thought her older son was kind of a piece of shit because we saw him at his worst moments. And then I think of that, I think we've seen him on Watch What Happens since there was that special episode. I don't know if it was for OC's like 100th episodes or whatever it was, where he was looking back on his behavior and you saw this person who was like seemingly mature, emotional, seemed kind, seemed a lot more
grew up.
And it's like, and yet we don't know that version of him. If you walk up to him at a bar, our memory of him is latched on to this like kind of dick to his mom from what, 15 years ago? That's the unfortunate reality.
I think stunted growth. And
our perception of stunted growth.
Our perception of the stunted growth. And there's so much that happens in their lives. Like, I think about Taylor Armstrong's kids.
Oh, God.
They have...
Well, Kennedy. Yeah.
Right. Kennedy, obviously, you know, she has her birthday party on there. But then to lose a parent while you're... and now that's on TV forever.
Right.
That's like, maybe it's nice to have some of those memories captured. But then on the flip of that, it's...
There are these traumatizing
that get brought up all the time, but without, you know, without your will.
Yeah, I mean, and look at, it's a very different circumstance, but what the Judice Giudices have gone through. I mean, there's a lot that is squarely in their parents' corner when it comes to responsibility. But you could look at the legal ramifications. You could look at Joe's behavior and kind of disrespect. I mean, not kind of, just vocal, continuous disrespect of his wife. And you could see what's, you know, potentially happening right now with Louis.
Oof.
And then the flip side of that, or like the additional layer, is when a child is old enough
to make the decision to appear on camera and film confessionals and have an opinion, like Gia's opinions about, you know, Zio Joe and Zia Melissa. Yeah. I know that there is going to be a vocal response. She's opening herself up to criticism. And I have to say that just as a viewer, I feel a little uncomfortable because I still think of her as that child, even if she's 19, 20, right. 21, whatever. I just don't feel comfortable, even though she's signing the permission slip and she has as much of an awareness as a 21-year-old
adult.
She's a complete, she's a legal adult, she's graduated from college, doing great things. But when she has a take that I might disagree with on camera, one part of it is like, I'm going to listen to her more fully because of an understanding of what she's experienced.
True.
And also her obvious support and wanting to like fight for her mom. And her dad not being there. But also on top of that, I'm like, I don't feel super comfortable when like watching those episodes of coming out strong with a take because I still think of her as a kid. I just don't think it's fair.
And I think, you know, we've seen her in this toxic experience her yeah. whole life. So obviously we feel uncomfortable commenting on it. But then again, like it has given her so many opportunities. She just mm-hmm. bartended on Watch What Happens Live last week. She's doing Wendy's ads. Like she's living her best life. So it's right. kind of like, okay, if you look at the positive spin, mm-hmm. it's all right. But I agree. It's hard to, I mean, and we all have our own family stuff. It's hard to see mm-hmm. her have to comment on what's going on with her own uncle on national television, but that's all she's ever known.
Yeah, and then she has a take and it's like, okay, I don't know that I agree with this, but I also understand the amount of trauma that you bring to the table yeah. and also an understanding of how this TV stuff works. And like, I do think that those kids have been through so much and have seen what their mom has dealt with and sacrifice and are experiencing their own trauma about their dad not being allowed back into the country.
Insane.
And carrying that with them. So like, if they say something shitty, that I mean, first off, you're still a lot younger than I am, even though I'm spiritually mid-20s plus. So it's like,
of course,
got to keep that in mind, number one. But also, I don't know. I just think that they've gone through so much. I'm going to start at the place of empathy and sometimes a little bit of silence.
Yeah, I'm totally aligned. And I also think for Gia specifically, mm-hmm. she also has on her shoulders to carry the three other younger daughters
right.
through it and make the journey for them as comfortable and as safe as a protective older sister. So it's real life stuff we get to watch.
It is real life stuff. And I think with the Gia of it all, there's a way of like thinking about it as like, oh my gosh, Gia, you're so incredible. You've been the caregiver for your three sisters. You've put up with a lot. And the flip side of that to me is, yeah, but that comes from the space of trauma. Like
yeah.
she was in a position where she didn't have a choice. And as we saw in the show, there was her dad was binge drinking. He was not handling this in a way that felt healthy or responsible for the kids. And I'm sure was also, you know, trying to do his best. And it's like, yes, was she seemingly adulting? Sure. But why are we looking at that as a good thing? Like
yeah.
the level of maturity and advanced maturity that some of these kids are forced to experience as a result of unfortunate circumstances, plus the extra layer of having that be filmed that forces through this like speed round of stuff that I don't know how to process it as a viewer.
100% agree. And the circumstances of it all, again, having to rewatch it, seeing the pain her parents went through of losing their parents on the show.
Oh my God, we'll never get over that. Well, the 5 a.m. octopus. Like,
never gonna get over
it. I can't believe he's no longer. I know he's still with us.
He's still
but, like,
with
us. I can't. That whole. And they weren't allowed to process. We still have not had the conversation, except LOL, we have for years, but like, have not had the conversation about people who experienced death, loss, health crises related to COVID or not during COVID and not being able to have the opportunity to grieve with their communities because of restrictions that
yeah.
needed to be in place for health and safety. But to not be able to have your loved ones around you so that you can fully process the death of a parent. I just, and especially in an Italian family.
Yep.
Are you Jewish? Why do I feel like you're Jewish? You're Italian.
I'm both.
Oh, we're both pizza. Okay.
Pizza bagels.
We're both pizza bagels. That's why. So like as a pizza bagel, you know, as a Jew with like Shiva, you know, as an Italian, just being an Italian. That like it's important to have those family structure. I mean, the Shiva is based around days of mourning where people come to your home and gather. Yep. And it's like to watch some of that. I know that there are aspects of COVID seasons that feel unwatchable because it's just so upsetting for us
to
remember.
Upsetting.
But damn, like the lapse of being able to formally try to work through some of the processing that was missed is really, that's going to continue to reverberate for people with their own journeys.
And I think part of it too, with the cycle of the filming of each season, having to readdress it while they're filming.
Yeah.
For the sake of the storyline on the show, like having to revisit the no-no ceremony and all those things. Like it's just a different way of having to process things. And I think it's sped up and elongated in different ways.
Yeah. It's interesting in terms of like an arrested development of like the show. We, you know, Andy will talk about the show in terms of conflict resolution, but ideally for the show's purposes, that's stretched out until maybe part three of a reunion cycle, or if some like wild event,
we can put a little bow on it.
We can have the Kyle and Son hug and like tap back at like the, where they're just like, kind of like, okay, like, we're good. Yeah, we're fine. We'll be okay.
Pull your hair, but
which the fact that happened in the first 90 seconds of part three of the reunion is nuts. But
nuts.
Like it's the thing of we are ostensibly building to this, but we don't really want it, because if we don't have that tension, then where are we in
this
world?
It can't always be fun, which we could use a little bit more fun once in a while, I would say.
Yeah.
But that is what draws people in. Like Kyle and Mauricio, of course, is the topic of conversation. But did we have a fun time watching Sutton cry about wearing pants to Magic Mike? Of course. But you're really locked in when there's conflict.
And as someone who quite literally never wears pants, and I'm such a professional that I'm
can
truly
confirm as I'm looking at all of these dresses.
I mean, as we're in the closet, I just won't wear pants. I'll wear leggings. I wear sweats 25, 8. Like I'll wear, you know, with like a little cute little trench on top or something, but I won't ever wear pants. So for the folks at Magic Mike, you're gonna get me, but it's gonna be in a dress or
a skirt. It's gonna be in a dress. And that's okay.
Pant moment.
And Sutton wishes she could go back and wear the dresses and the skirts she likes to wear too.
And Sutton, I think, just wishes she had been called on.
Yeah. Poor Sutton. Do we feel bad?
I don't feel bad in that moment because I'm just so appreciative of what came after the fact.
And the elevator of it all.
Which did you think? What did you think of the elevator with Erica's friends/dancers? Did you think that that was something that production could have texted to time? Or do you think that was just incorporated?
I think that might have been luck of the draw. Like,
do you?
I do. And I know they addressed it again on the reunion, which makes me think that they were doubling down on the fact that I swear it wasn't producers trying to convince us it really wasn't. But it did just seem so, I don't know what the word I'm trying to think of, miraculous timing.
Serendipitous.
Thank you. It's Monday morning.
I know it is. We're struggling.
We're struggling. We're working on it. I know. We started a little dark.
We did. Can we actually dance back into that darkness just a little bit more?
Why not?
Because there was a clip that came out on social of Howard Stern, and I love that Howard Stern is a Bravoholic. It like brings me so much joy. That clip of Howard and John Hamm forever ago talking about Erica and the diamonds is one of the best things that I had seen on social in a while when
so
that came
good.
Up. But he was talking about his discomfort, possibly frustration, but more discomfort about Kyle and Mauricio filming that scene with their kids, because Portia is in high school. She's, you know, 15 or 16 years old. It was a tough scene to watch, but arguably one that people were expecting to take place. What's your thought on that? Did you feel like it was, as Howard said, sort of inappropriate to have filmed?
I don't know if inappropriate is the right word, because again, they have been in front of the cameras for their entire lives.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was shocking to them that it was going to be on camera, because that's all they've known. But do I think that Kyle and Mauricio could have given them a little bit of a private heads up beforehand that made it a little less daunting in person on camera? Yes. Like, I think they could have fudged it a bit in protection of the girls and just made it more of a, you know, we've been talking about this, but we just want to make sure we're all on the same page, instead of telling them straight up on camera, which is what it seemed like to me.
Okay, so my counter to that is I 1000% think that they did have a heads up. We're not watching the moment of the kids being like being told that mom and dad are
breaking up.
Like, they had, I would bet money, I do not have.
Bet it on Blonde.
I would bet it on Blonde that there was absolutely a series of conversations. There's no way
that was the first.
Absolutely not. Yeah. That it was like, kids, you know what mom does, like, this is, we have to have this conversation, and that after over a decade of being on camera, you might not want to do it, but I think there was probably some sort of understanding that, like, it sort of needed to take place.
And that's probably why, not that the tears weren't for the separation of their parents, but the tears were probably a bit of that uncomfortableness too.
True.
Where they're like, I don't actually know how to process how I'm feeling in front of these cameras with my full face of makeup on, like, in a way that now, of course, they're doing it two times over, because now they're the stars of their own show on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And it's just a weird thing for them to process, knowing that they already had the emotions processed, but now they're like, react again.
So there's been a big conversation on social by viewers about Kyle's sort of hedging her bets during the reunion cycle, that she didn't, she didn't necessarily get pushed in the ways that Andy has pushed or cajoled other housewives with the whole, you signed up for reality TV, your expectations of privacy are not entirely invalid, but there needs to be a conversation here about how much privacy you can expect or deserve when talking about some of this. And so one of Kyle's responses, a big response, when she did not want to share specifics about what Mauricio did that led her to lose trust.
Yeah.
Her reason was, And for some other stuff too, was, I don't want to upset my family. I don't want to upset my kids. Mm-hmm. What's your thought on that?
I personally think that they are probably old enough to have a clue on what is going on. And whatever it is that Mauricio did, he's done a lot of stuff on camera that, as a daughter, I would be upset about. And just the way... Like, I think I just saw this clip the other day from one of the original white parties where there were, like, these women hanging all over him. Oh, my God,
I
remember that.
I know exactly what you're talking about. And I know exactly what you're talking about.
I forget which of the four daughters it was, but one of them was right there as Kyle starts screaming at Mauricio, like, and screaming at the woman, like, get off my husband, get security. Like, they've seen him be a little sketch in a lot of those situations, and obviously they have these big parties and they have a lot of relatives around them who have a lot of controversy. But I think that in Kyle's defense, which she is in one of my top five, she's up there for both of us.
I got it.
If there is something that is going to damage maybe his actual business, or I know.
I'm giving eyes.
She's giving eyes. But I just think, I think she's shared enough where it's okay that we don't have to have the full story on that, because clearly there's been a lot and maybe she can't even pinpoint it.
Yeah, that's true. I think the difficulty for me, first off, is that Sun and Garcelle were not there.
Huge bummer.
Obviously had a huge, huge impact in the build up to this kind of thing. Tension between the cast was kind of non-existent, except for tension between sort of cast members and themselves with how honest do I want to be with maybe the Kyle and Morgan of it all. There was a lot of selective silence on that stage at that point. But I also think if Andy was aware, which he obviously was, And by Andy, I mean Andy, but also like the producers, were aware that Garcelle and Sutton were not going to be there for this very important third arc, third act, whatever. Why wasn't he picking up some of that energy on their behalf? I think if he had stayed in the energy that he was in with what we saw, it wouldn't be as potentially frustrating had obviously Garcelle and Sutton been there, but it feels like he didn't necessarily adjust for the gap. And that led to a part three that, while I still think it had some value, it was also, I understand why people felt like it was a nothing burger.
Still a little unfinished, especially because Andy could, he did direct a certain question, like, are you and Morgan in a relationship? But he didn't do what Garcelle would have done, which was say, Kyle, did Mauricio cheat on you?
Yeah.
Like, and actually ask those questions that would have hopefully given the viewers some more information on what Mauricio actually did to lose that trust. Or maybe Garcelle, being smart, would have figured out a way to explain that there were multiple circumstances where Kyle lost her trust, and Kyle maybe would have eventually just been like, yeah, what Garcelle said. And then we could have gone with that.
Yeah, and the it's like sort of a... it's a little bit of this kind of like uneasy sort of exchange of Kyle saying, if you were my friend, you wouldn't be asking me questions on camera. But obviously, Kyle has an understanding of what their job responsibilities are, let alone what
more
producers,
than anyone.
Exactly. Let alone what producers are telling these women to ensure to include, especially at group dinners. And also, it wasn't like, okay, let's err on the side of when the magazine stuff was happening with LVP and Brandy. Let's say that Kyle and Mo were at a good place then, and she was genuinely upset. I think she was upset regardless, but like upset because she knew that this wasn't true. Like, let's say for argument's sake that her upset at that point was her friends saying things on camera that they were doing for drama, they were doing for whatever. Maybe they believed it, maybe they didn't, but she knew it wasn't true.
It was reputation damaging, but it wasn't true.
Right. Then we go to the reunion where she's saying, listen, I didn't want him to kiss me. I felt uncomfortable because obviously we had an understanding of where we were. That when the season started, as she mentioned at that like yoga-esque sound bath retreat, whatever it was, goat therapy, I don't even remember, when she said like we're sort of working through stuff, that was her dipping her toes in a water that had been more full than maybe we were aware of at that point. It does drive me a little bit nuts that we're still relying on Kyle's upset that it was brought up on camera when it was also true.
And I also think too, the magazine thing that happened, whatever, you know, 10 years ago, something.
Years and years ago. Yeah.
It's so different now because we have so much access to social media and their lives.
Reddit. Who needs like, some of these magazines when you've got some of these other
people
websites
on the ground sending pictures to Dumois? Like, what? Yeah. Like, people hanging out with Mauricio and Aspen posting their own pictures about it.
Yeah.
We have so much access to what looks very sketchy. And Kyle getting upset that it was on camera feels silly to me because everything's on camera now, whether the camera's a reality TV camera or it's their phone cameras, we're getting information. And I think being on camera would have been her time to actually clear the air of some of those rumors that were swirling and just say, this is what happened and we are separating and I don't know what's going on, but I'm trying to work it through instead of hiding it from a reality she's had for, how long has it been on? 15 years?
Yeah. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo. And when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth. And when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon, c'est bon.
Yeah, and it's frustrating when that's sort of coached around you're not being a good friend to me, because Kyle is really smart and she's been in this game for so long, and I know that she has been under pressure before.
Right.
She's obviously been through a lot. She has sacrificed a lot in showing the toxic relationships and structures she's had with her sisters. She right. showed a lot with some of like some friend stuff that she's experienced. But she's never really had to go through this kind of stress before. And she shouldn't be excluded from it because she's been so important to the right. franchise. Like, if she's not willing to go through that, or if she's saying that the process of going through it shouldn't exist, then that's kind of playing, it's having this dance that we know isn't right. It's like we've watched her make the exact opposite argument, and one could also argue that's human instinct to be right. an inherent contradiction. But we're just playing with this for so long while knowing that they are separated, that it's seemingly more than likely, as she has said, with him moving out or plans for him right. to move out, it doesn't seem like they are working to repair their marriage. It feels like they are working how to experience different lives and remain, you know, a family intact, but like separate ways, seemingly divorce. It's just a tough thing to see the rest of the cast, especially when Garcelle and Sutton aren't there, just kind of sit in this, because no one wants to raise her ire.
Right. And I also think maybe there is something we're missing where the daughters have come to Kyle and we're like,
don't talk about this.
Don't do this. Well, to us.
I assume yeah. that I assume that that's a part of it.
Me
right?
too. And I just wonder if Kyle doesn't know how to balance the fact without blaming her daughters, being yeah. like, I'm down to say this on camera, but my daughters that's told
really,
me not
you know what?
To.
That's a really valid point.
And instead of her being like, Portia's really upset about it, like, that's so shitty for Portia. Like,
that's a point that doesn't protect her from criticism, which I think right. she still deserved, but that is yes. potentially an explainer. But I would also say, this is very easy for me to say as an outsider, someone who's not married and doesn't have kids, that if you know, when Andy does the whole thing with everyone seemingly but Kyle of, you know what you signed up for, to think that you can keep secrets, like with Jen and Bill and the affair and not wanting to tell the kids.
Oh, yeah.
All of that being said, wanting to protect your children is a human maternal instinct. But also, when you sign up for this, if you're Jen Aiden, maybe the kids were too young, I don't know. But with Kyle, it's like, you might not want to say these things on camera because you feel like it will embarrass your kids. But I know this is kind of weird, but like, I hope she's telling them off camera. I hope that there are no surprises.
I agree. And I think shielding them will not help. And I think I get why she doesn't want it to be on camera and live forever, like, of her bashing their own father. Fine. I think we can obviously take many, many housewives or reality TV couples that have split and seen some of the things they've said that they probably regret having on film, because now mm-hmm. their kids are going to see it. Mm-hmm. But Kyle has been doing it for so long that she is probably just trying to figure out a way to not bash anyone, whether it's Mauricio, her kids, herself. And in turn, it just makes her look like she doesn't have a POV and she's not giving us anything.
Yeah. And I think that there will be a point in time, potentially, and dare I say, hopefully, where she will be in a position where she doesn't feel like she needs to defend Mauricio so hard. Because right. I really genuinely, in addition to like just wanting to know, I really kind of need to know.
Yeah.
I really need to know. I want to know more about the Rick.
I was just
going to
say that.
Because these clips from his dumb fuck, in the words of Paris Hilton, his lame reality show.
Which I will watch.
Which I don't know that I will, because I just really strongly am not on Team Mo at this point. Like,
I'll keep you posted.
Thank you. I just feel such frustration about this man being able and being allowed to shit on his brother-in-law, sister-in-law. We're not really thinking about the respect that maybe Kathy's kid. I know that they're like adult and also superstars, but
right.
We're not thinking about the kids who are impacted on the other side of this. Like, we can't only think about Kyle and Mauricio's kids when it comes to you 100%. Saying seemingly disrespectful or arrogant things about the reasons that you left. And also asterisk to that, according to one of these clips, he's like, I didn't have any ownership and they were disrespectful. I'm not disagreeing with that if that is in fact the case.
But I'm sure.
How much ownership is he providing with the agency? Is he learning from his mistakes, or has he just become the version of Rick that he is describing to us now on Netflix?
Exactly. And knowing this business disagreement has happened for decades in their family, is that what Kyle's referring to when she says she lost trust? Did he do something in terms of like taking away her shares of the agency or something like that? Like, I don't know, maybe it's something more.
He fucked somebody.
I think so too, but it's like maybe she's already been doing that.
She's so emotional.
She likes her money.
Who doesn't? I mean, she likes her lifestyle, but she can afford one for herself. And also, I think that Mauricio, because so much of it, LOL, is caught on camera, that if she, quote unquote, like likes her lifestyle and the, you know, rich of it all, I think he gets that she is owed what she deserves. She really did help build and create this. And it is because of her
platform.
Totally. It's because of her being on Housewives that the agency exploded in that way. Otherwise, yep. It would be some guy who is married to Kyle Richards, who's nobody's heard of except for VH1 specials on Paris from like 20 years ago. And
so us.
Rick Hilton. I mean, like, for real, it's if she likes a lifestyle that includes being wealthy, God bless her. She deserves to have it.
And she worked for it.
And she worked for it.
It's very, very interesting. And I agree. I think it's going to have to come out eventually. She's going to get mad enough, hopefully, where she's like, you know what? I'm just going to say what happened, because now people aren't on my side. And she is not going to want people being on Mo's side.
But do you think he's going to even want to be filmed anymore?
No. I think he's going to go only on his show.
This is a real issue for us.
I agree.
You cannot put all of this then on Netflix. I'm sorry. We've invested too much.
Agreed. I wonder when he moves out, if he, because those are the only times we saw him, basically, were scenes in the house. So if he's not in the house, maybe we'll get him for like a family dinner that will be staged for the show. But I could see him being like, no, I don't, we're done here. I don't need to be on the show anymore. And Kyle may lose that storyline, for lack of a better phrase.
Which I think she would love.
Right.
But production might not.
No, because we've been around for so long with them.
Or maybe they skip ahead. Maybe this is like, listen, she answered questions. They were giving a lot of space to very choppy edits around air, silence and air. And she said what she said. And now they're going to move forward into whatever else. And that's assuming she comes back.
Right. I don't see a world where Kyle doesn't come back.
Really?
But maybe she'll start getting inspired. Even Kathy telling her, like, don't be embarrassed. Yeah. This is your new life. Like, you're trying to figure something out. Like, maybe we will get a nice Kyle in her midlife, not so crisis, trying to figure out, find herself. Maybe we will get her in a relationship with Morgan. Maybe we will see her start a new business that has to do with her health journey. You know, maybe there is something there that we can see this new chapter of Kyle that doesn't have to be only based around the fact that she's getting divorced.
I would like that for her, but I need there to be a cast around her that feels comfortable criticizing her and saying yes. That to her face. It can't just be Sutton and Garcelle, because what we saw is when they are removed for medical reasons, nobody else is able to do a
silent.
Fucking thing.
They were silent.
I mean, there was like a little crystal of like, Morgan, yada yada.
I thought you looked like you were dating, but
which,
it's like,
so did everybody else.
So did everyone else. And that's why Andy asked.
Yeah.
But yeah, we need a little bit more of an assertive group that will get to the bottom of it. And maybe it has to be people that Kyle trusts too.
No, those people aren't gonna fuck with her.
I know.
We don't need more people who are allies of Kyle. We need people who are not allies of Kyle.
But I mean, or maybe trust was the wrong word. Respect. Like, I don't know how much respect Kyle has for...
Sure, because when someone stabs you in the back and you respect them, that's better TV than not.
Exactly. We'll take it.
I mean, I would be down for that. I also think, like, Erica's an interesting case study just in terms of her relationships with the other women. Because yeah. I do think... certainly to me she is more likable when she is aligning herself with Sutton and Garcelle, like when she's
so likable,
when she seems to like be a little bit lighter, when she seems to be a little bit more comfortable being open and she's not necessarily carrying the burdens that she was in seasons past. I would be curious to see if the Fox Force would then fully disband.
I think it could, because Erica got such a bigger fan appreciation this season because she was lighter, because she was fun, because people loved this hilarious frenemy banter that her and Sutton have, which is so much more refreshing than them screaming at each other about like stuff that was just maybe a little too dark for all of us to watch on a regular basis. And it's interesting, though, because to your point about all the weird silences and edits of the final part of the reunion, a lot of the cuts were of Erica's facial expressions.
Yes.
Agreeing with what Kyle was saying. Or at least that's what it looked like to me, where Kyle was like, Morgan's hot. And Erica kind of gave the face that was like, you go, girl. Like, we're proud of you. And it wasn't as much like Crystal's faces or Garcelle's in reunion parts past that were a little eye-rolly at Kyle's answers.
But I also think Erica was like, I mean, she was making sure to make the point that she disagreed about Dancing with the Stars as a performer. She has a different perception of her own relationship, obviously, with her estranged husband than Kyle does with her relationship with like jealousy with Mauricio.
Right.
I'm appreciative of the fact that Kyle was like, no, I would have been jealous.
Me too.
Like, that's honest.
That's completely honest.
Yeah.
They are. I mean, Dancing with the Stars is one of my faves. And they.
Did you watch it?
Oh, yeah. I watch every season. And this one was a big one for me, obviously, knowing Mauricio and Ariana were on it. But it's uncomfortable. And I grew up as a dancer, like I said, and it's like not I wasn't ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
But like, yes, it's to a degree of separating the art from the artist when you're already having marriage problems, in Kyle's defense. Like, would she have been jealous if her and Mo were fantastic? I don't know. But her and Mo haven't been fantastic for a long time, which is, I think, maybe why she'd be even more jealous. They're young, they're beautiful, they're touching, they're spending lots of time together, time that Kyle doesn't get back. I don't know.
What did you think of Mauricio's decision to join Dancing with the Stars?
So strange. Because I think we live in this little Bravo bubble. And I don't know if the general Dancing with the Stars public even knew who he was. Obviously, Ariana had made it past the Bravo Universe bubble, and
course,
people were in for that. But it was just, it felt like I don't want to be like, you're a Z-list celebrity, but it felt like a low casting moment. Knowing the level of people they can get on there. But he did well, and it gave them a lot of extra viewers knowing this separation was happening. I thought it was maybe an attempt at Mauricio to become more likable, knowing that through this divorce he would not become very likable.
Interesting. See, I liked him less as a result of that casting announcement. I was like, this feels so desperate and cheesy, and like, shouldn't you be doing like real estate shit? I know you have a bajillion dollars now and 100,000 employees or whatever, but like,
really? We're going to like learn to tango, but you don't have the time to have uncomfortable conversations on camera on Beverly Hills? Like, this is what we're doing with our time? I thought it was like cheesy and kind of gross.
Cheesy is the exact word I would say. It was like goofy.
It was goofy.
Yeah. It was a goofy move for him. And I don't know if he thought it would be better for his show, but it was goofy, and it only made it worse for their family, I think.
Yeah.
I know the daughters went to some of the shows, but it had to have been very strange for them to watch him dance like that with Emma, knowing what was going on.
That's a really good point.
In their life.
I didn't think about that, to be honest. I really didn't think about that.
Yeah. Very strange.
Oof. And then the kids with the hand-holding.
When they didn't even have no. Yeah.
Right.
They were probably still in the weird phase of what is happening with mom and dad. And now we're watching dad in like a hot pink silk shirt dance with this hot young blonde lady on national TV, which is just a weird thing for them to probably process. And it didn't seem like Mo was like explaining anything to them.
Does he want to be, I know this is the dumbest question I'll ever ask, and you're welcome in advance, but does he want to be famous in that way? He wants to be like his own, he literally has his own Netflix show, so that should be sort of a no-brainer, but.
It's seeming more and more like it based on Dancing with the Stars, his show, and I know you're not on TikTok, but have you seen some of the videos he's been posting lately?
No, I only see it when like someone reposts it 3 days later on Instagram stories. Like the Aspen dancing with women stuff. Oh, or his bro dancing stuff.
The bro dancing. Like
to Beyonce,
like,
which Beyonce herself is like, no, sweetie.
No, please. I'm actually right. Taking my song off of TikTok so you don't ever have to do that again.
For real.
But it's just a very midlife crisis kind of vibe where he's like trying to act so much younger and be with the... Like Lele Pons like was on Dancing with the Stars with him and then all of a sudden was like topless skiing with him. Like weird stuff. That's just like, I just go back to the daughters. I'm like, they must be so weirded out by seeing their dad do that in the public eye, let alone choosing to do it on two extra shows when they don't even know what's really going on.
I also kind of feel like with Mauricio... Seemingly, or at least I feel like, I would argue seemingly a lot of us feel like there's been a little bit of a misstep here because Kyle said he did something, I lost my trust, and then I just kind of assumed we would go back to where we were, and we didn't. And what is missing there in this huge gap is, Mauricio, did you try to rebuild? Did you try to repair your relationship after whatever you did to fuck this up? Or are we just skipping ahead to, wow, oh my God, I woke up one day and, 6 months later and, it feels like the energy in my relationship is kind of off. Like, what did he actually do to repair this? It feels like so much of the focus, obviously, and the burden is on Kyle to kind of explain the dynamic, but what if someone is forcing Mauricio to explain it? Like, sir, what did you do? Did you not think that 28 years was long enough to fight for your marriage? What does fighting for your marriage actually look like here?
I think we have a huge piece that we're missing. And part of me thinks that because it has seemed like they've been up and down for a long time, perhaps there was never one moment where he was like, I'm gonna fight for this. Like, it just genuinely fizzled out. And finally, Kyle just pulled back and he was too busy to notice. And then it was too late.
I cannot believe that this man, this is, again, so naive for me to say, but I just really cannot believe that your wife, who's with you for 28 years, you can't stop a little bit and do the things that you promised her you would do, which is pulling back with the agency. I mean, we talk about Kyle liking this lifestyle. Kyle liking the lifestyle isn't the issue to me. It's Mauricio. He couldn't get out of his own way. He didn't feel like he needed to, and now he's getting divorced.
Yep. And I also think there were so many pieces that he should have been there for that we actually did get a little hint of, like the conversation of them in the car where he was like, oh yeah, how was that event you had? And she's like, oh, the event where my honoring my best friend who passed. There was just clearly such a long disconnect there that doesn't happen overnight, that they just all of a sudden don't know what's going on in each other's lives. So I think whether it was him working too much at the agency, going to too many parties in Cancun, whatever it was, Kyle just stopped even trying to get him in the loop. And we didn't see any of that because they faked it for so long on the show. And then this year, he was just not in any of it. And we all got confused because we were like, last year it seemed fine. He was showing up to all these parties. And all of a sudden, now we have no answers on why you're not here. And you're just kind of being a dick.
Yeah. And there's this whole thing around like Mauricio's flirty and that's the way you do business. Well, listen, I know that he's a different personality type than other famous, successful real estate guys who've been married that we've seen on Bravo. But I don't see Ryan Serhant being accused of sliding into somebody's DMs or being flirty with someone who is flirting with him. I don't see that happening with Josh Altman on Beverly Hills. I don't see that happening with anyone else who's been on Million Dollar Listening, unless their storyline has been about them going through a divorce.
Right.
So how much of the Mauricio being flirty because it's good for business do we need to really fully absorb? Like, we're giving him so much grace because maybe he was disrespectful to his wife and we're just trying to play that off because maybe it did also help him secure a deal. Well, you lost the one with your wife. So how great did that turn out?
I also think Mauricio was everyone's number one Bravo house husband for so long.
Me? I was obsessed with him.
Obsessed. So hot.
Obsessed.
Seemed so loving. Seemed like they had a great unit. Funny.
I loved when he was like, hi, Mauricio, too.
Loved.
At Camille's wedding.
Like, I think it's taking longer for all of us to get mad at him because we loved him so much.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a betrayal, I think, that people in the audience feel.
Definitely. Because we were like, you were our number one guy in the group.
I know. He was our number one guy in the group.
And now he's very much on the bottom. And that's a struggle for us because we loved him. A lot of other husbands were like, okay, whatever. We're done with you. If you hurt our girl, then we're out. But with Mauricio, we were like, we loved you too.
And I think that's maybe some of the frustration. And people have the right to be frustrated with Kyle. Kyle is very, very triggering for people. People, you know, hate her with a passion. And I totally can absolutely appreciate a lot of the takes attached to that, genuinely.
Yeah.
But I also kind of feel like there might be some frustration about Kyle not showing her anger toward Mauricio.
Right.
In some of our responses of like, why aren't you communicating this thing that some of us feel you deserve or some of us feel you need to share?
I think it's like we're actually getting mad at Kyle because we're so mad for her. And it's just
turned. And that's from the perspective of Kyle stans.
Okay. Yes.
Because then there are other people like, we hate Kyle. And I get that. I totally appreciate it. I respect it. I totally get it.
It's just, I don't know if we're ever going to get the answer, too, because it feels like they've already moved on from it. And we're all the ones that are left in the dust without any closure.
She has way too much fucking power on this show.
Yeah.
She does. We need to have someone strong. I know it's not going to be LVP. It could be LVP maybe in 4 years, though. Like, I don't know
and
that Vanderpump's
going to
be number
then.
One for a long time, you know?
Yeah.
Right. But we need someone to hold her accountable who she gets annoyed by in a way that's like an interesting power dynamic. She is not meant to hold the crown on this show. She is not. She's a strong beta, but we need to have an alpha who doesn't want to fuck with her because right now people on the cast are holding themselves back and it's not helpful, especially when she behaves in a way that I disagree with or like when Andy isn't pushing her, someone else on a couch should.
Could it be Erica? Could she rein into that?
I love it, but I think she's too smart. I think she's too smart to do it, but I want her to be a little bit dumb.
Yeah.
I want her to be a little bit dumb. I wanted her to take one for the team, but why would she do that? Why would she do that?
Because obviously, Dorit's not going to do it.
No, and it's like self-preservation. She's been on the show. How many housewives have been on the show since the beginning and or for many, many years and are still there? It's tough to walk into that dynamic and be like, I know what'll be good for TV because it feels like it has an expiration date.
I wonder if there is a world where we get some of those old time Beverly Hills people like in the Kathy Hilton world, the Faye Resnick.
Faye is like,
but they have like
Kyle's
Nicolette,
true sister.
Nicolette Sheridan and those people who have connections to Denise and like old Hollywood, not like Marilyn, where Kyle will start feeling like maybe I'm not the most famous or the most queen bee anymore and I need to step up my game and actually get the story back to me, that maybe there's a chance that we get a little bit of fire in her belly to come make a headline.
I mean, I would love someone like a Diana that isn't Diana, because Diana to me is, you know, you're really at the gates of hell when you show up to her Malibu estate. I would like someone just...
And we need someone like funny. Diana wasn't funny.
Yeah. And like, just not her.
Yeah.
But with her money.
Yes.
We need someone who's comfortable being unlikable because they have no fucks to give.
Yep. I mean, at this point, I can't think of anyone other than Lisa Vanderpump, but they have too much history, it feels like.
I mean, Kathy. That's going to be tough, though.
That's tough. That's tough. Family. They just finally, allegedly... are getting back to a good place.
And I want them to be in a good place.
Me too. They're sisters.
They are. But I also think it's really kind of a little bit of an LOL that Kyle's like, to put this on camera, listen, Kathy's a complicated lady, but like,
she sure is.
For Kyle to be like, the only reason that you have friends is because people want to come to your parties, I would be so upset.
I would be pissed.
I would be so upset. I would be like, so you're saying there's nothing positive about me or engaging about me that would mean that people would want to spend time with me? It's only because of my last name and my connections. I mean, that is a... I don't even know if... I'm sure Kyle understands what she's saying when she says it, but like, that's a pretty deep cut.
That's a deep cut, but part of me is like, is Kathy just like, yeah, that's probably true.
No, Kathy's definitely not like that. I mean, I think that Kathy's like, how dare you? Or that's really mean of you.
Which is why we've had these disagreements, because right. you're being a bit mean. But Kathy can be mean too.
I mean, LOL. That's... ugh. What an era. What an era we've been through with Beverly Hills. It does make me slightly curious about what's going to happen next season.
Same.
But they need to figure out, this casting situation is tough. We really need to do a reset. We need to find some energy. We need to find some alpha energy.
We need
to
the alpha connections. Energy. We have enough side characters that work. Like Crystal, I love Crystal, but like, she's never going to be the alpha on the show. We need, like, we're all set on the Sutton and Crystal and Dorit side stories, but we need someone who's really going to come in and like reign supreme with or without Kyle.
We need Crystal to embrace not being likable.
True.
That is where excellent
TV could use a little more villain energy.
We're just like responsive. We're just like gut instinct of like, we need Crystal to do more yes anding. We need Crystal to do more yes anding that ends with a fuck you.
Yep.
That's what
we're getting. We're getting a hint of it.
We are. We're so close.
We're so close. We need something to just snap and her to freak out.
Every episode. That's happened every episode.
She has way too much self-control.
She does. And that is probably a benefit to her in her real life, but it's a true disadvantage when it comes to being on reality TV.
And we need more of her husband too, because he's a gossip, and we don't get enough of that.
When he talked about the Morgan stuff, I was like, yes, Rob, go off.
He's like, in People magazine.
We didn't get enough of that. And then Crystal shut him down. I was like, Crystal, like,
come on. We need, like, we love when a house husband gossips.
Oh, we love it. So do you think that Dorit will be back, or do you think that Dorit's...
I think she's on her way out.
You do? Do you think she'll friend of, or do you think she's out the door?
I think she'll friend of.
Yeah.
I think she'll friend of with Erica. And I think she'll...
Wait, you think that Erica's going to friend of?
No. Like, she'll show into scenes.
She'll be a friend with Erica as a friend of.
Exactly. And I think maybe we'll catch her, like, shopping with Kyle to catch up.
Oh, LOL.
But I don't see her as a main character anymore. And I think she's too protective of whatever's going on with PK. And she saw where Kyle is, and she's like, you know what? Oh, that's not for me, probably.
I mean, speaking of money, the fact that we never really truly had a season where people were focusing on that. Camille did her best work.
She tried.
And then was completely had to do a full apology tour. I think Camille will continue to do it. Denise is saying she wants to come back. I don't know which Denise we're going to get.
Yeah, that's why she can't be the alpha, because she's too unpredictable.
She's not an alpha.
She can't even put her jacket on straight.
No, and we love her for that.
Yeah, that's she's another important side character.
Right. She could be a cameo plus. She could friend up. She could be back full time, but that's not going to answer all this, because then that would be a great thing for Kyle, because then it's like the attention's going to go to Denise, for better or worse. It's going to go to some sort of agent of chaos, and that is not necessarily what we need this show to do as the answer and as the salve. What do you think of Anna Marie?
One hit wonder, potentially.
It felt like that was inevitable. And now I'm like, is there a small part of me that's like, maybe
do we give her another chance?
No, I don't think that we do that. But like, I just wonder if there's any world where she'll return?
That to me would be like plan Z. It would like if they really can't figure out a casting puzzle that works in the next season, if we lose Dorit, Kyle's pulling back, and they really can't find someone other than like Denise. I see her getting asked back. But other than that, I don't see her even as a friend of. What are we going to talk to her about? She's not friends with any of them.
She's literally not friends with anyone. That's actually the biggest mark against her. It's not being unlikable. It's the fact that she has no real relationships.
None of them like her.
Except with maybe Dorit for strategic reasons. But if Dorit's out the door, that's not going to help you at all.
No. And what are the two? How many scenes are we going to watch of the two of them?
No, not even snooze, just not, no, I don't want
no
that.
Thank you.
No, thank you. It's our best. But you know what I will say thank you to is you and I continuing this conversation to talk about another show that's on Bravo TV, which
Let's
we're going to do taking it personally right now. In the meantime, can you tell the AGs where they can follow you on social, see some of those flowchart moments?
Of course. On Instagram and Threads, I'm at Abby Bonides, and on TikTok at Abzbon, A-B-B-Z-B-O-N. But if you type in my full name, I'll be there too. But, you know, just trying to be specific. Come flow with me. Let's talk about all things reality TV. And I'm glad to have some of the Andy's girls over there hanging out with me.
Incredible. I love a come flow with me moment.
Oh, yeah. It feels Let's flow, baby.
It feels like the beginning of a yoga class, but it's so much better.
Way.
Guys, you can follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley. Have you joined the Andy's Girls Patreon? It's the number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more at patreon.com/Andy's Girls. And follow me on Instagram and Threads at Dame Galley. I am going to be better at threading.
She is.
I am.
It's a promise right now.
Threading that needle right now.
I'm going to stitch
some kind of shit about something. It's going to be amazing, as was this episode. Thanks so much for coming on. First time to the closet.
Thanks for having me. I can't wait to be back.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.